First Peter chapter 2, and Peter says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And you needn't necessarily turn to it, friends. It's just a few verses way over in the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses is soon to die and to leave the scene, and he's blessing the 12 tribes before he dies. And in Deuteronomy 33 and 13 we read, "And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits that brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." I want, friends, basically this morning to turn your thoughts to 1 Peter chapter 2 and to a phrase here in verse 7 where Peter said, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." And if you take your concordance, as I've done, and you look up the word precious, you will discover that the word precious is found in the entire Bible, according to the Authorized Version, about 76 times. The chapter that I read from Deuteronomy 33, as Moses was blessing the tribes, a very interesting thing is that he used the word precious 5 times. And it's the only chapter in the entire Bible where you have the word precious used so many times. In Peter's letters here, he uses the word precious 7 times. In the chapter that I've read from, chapter 2, he uses the word 3 times. Of course, everybody, all believers know how in chapter 1 he said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." And altogether there are 7 references to precious in Peter's writings. But here in chapter 2, he says, he uses these lovely words, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Of course, friends, it's important to recognize that Peter is talking about believers. And when you turn to his letter, you discover that he has great emphasis on faith. He says in chapter 1, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." He says in verse 7 of chapter 1 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. In chapter 1 and 9 he says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." He says in chapter 1, verse 21, "Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." So when he says unto you that believe, he is precious, he's talking about Christian believers. You know as well as I do that there are so many believers in the world today, but they're not Christian believers. They have their own creed, their own philosophy, their own ideas. But Peter is talking here about people who have come to believe in Christ alone for salvation. He's talking about Christian believers. And he says, "Unto you which believe, he is precious," or "he is of great worth," or "he is of great value." We used to sing, I don't think we sing so much now, but we used to sing hymns like, "Precious Savior, thou hast saved me. Thine and only, thine I am. Oh, that cleansing blood has reached me. Glory, glory to the Lamb. Peace like a river is flooding my soul, since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. Sweet peace abiding, my portion shall be. Jesus my Savior is precious to me." But we do still sing that lovely hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And we love those words, "Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer." And down the years, Peter has borne testimony, what was true of himself, and what has been true of so many. We can look up, and whatever our imperfections and shortcomings, we're happy to say that unto those of us who believe, Jesus is precious. It's an amazing thing that these words are found in Peter, because we remember his history and something of his background and the time when he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. But thank God, Peter had learned his lesson and Peter had been restored. And even when Jesus turned to Peter so long ago and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And then as Peter writes this first letter, he comes to the place where he says, "Be sober, be vigilant." He's learned his lesson. "Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And we don't look down on Peter this morning. We know that the Christian experience can be a very checkered experience. The great thing is that Peter has been restored, and what wonderful letters God privileged him and allowed him to write for the like of us this morning. And here he's saying in chapter 2, "Unto you that believe, he is precious." I remember, friends, reading, not in a recent publication, but some time ago, where a man was referring to this kind of thing, and he talked about the Lord Jesus being essentially precious. And he talked about him being eternally precious. As far as the essential preciousness was concerned, he said, "He is the very essence, the very substance, the very sum of all that is precious." He is preciousness in himself. remember reading years ago where someone said that all that was lovely, there was nothing lovely that wasn't in Christ. And there was nothing in Christ that wasn't lovely. And I think that's sweet. And the Lord Jesus, because of who and what he is essentially precious. And then he's eternally precious. And in a sense, that's why I've read from Deuteronomy this morning, because when Moses was conveying his blessing, he was thinking in terms of that which was temporal. But when we come and those things all pass and they all fade, the Bible talks about precious thoughts and ointments and stone and wood and fruit and all the rest of it. But those things pass on. But when we come to the Savior, when we come to the Lord Jesus, who is the eternal one, he is eternally precious. What I'm thinking about this morning is I want to think about us as the Lord Jesus, yes, is eternally precious, yes, as essentially precious, but as experimentally precious. In our day-to-day living, as we live our lives day by day. And when Peter said unto you that believe he is precious, he is of great worth, he is of great value, Peter actually does in his letter what the great apostle does, I think, in practically every letter he wrote. These men, they realized that the salvation of God was great salvation. And it had to do with our past, and it had to do with our present, and it had to do with our future. And Peter does what Paul does, and he not only thinks about the future and so on, but he thinks about the past. And he says here, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then he says, and this is a great verse, this is verse 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And when I'm talking about being experimental, I'm thinking of, well, Jesus is precious this morning. Unto those of us who are believers, Jesus is precious. When we think about our past lot, what it was like for us in the past. Here's Peter describing it. He says, who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And if you go through Paul's letters, you'll discover that again and again, even giving his own testimony, and he gives it three or four times in his letters, he recalls the past. He thinks about the past. And Peter's doing that. In fact, I think that Peter's doing that the whole way through, because in chapter 1, he says, we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ was the price paid to release, to deliver, to rescue. And we were captives, we were in bondage, we were slaves, we were imprisoned. That was our past condition. In fact, friends, when he goes on in his letter, he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And here he's coming back to this matter about the past. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. So you can see that this is very much in his mind. No wonder he's talking about the preciousness of Jesus. about the great worth and value of his Savior because of our past lot. And friends, don't forget that it's chapter 2 where you have those great verses where he says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For he says, ye were a sheep going astray, that's the past, but are now, that's the present, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So no wonder the people of God love to sing, precious Savior, thou hast saved me, thine and only thine I am, because of our past lot. Think, friends, of being in darkness. Think of being in ignorance. And so many, many, many people, we meet with them every day. We see them on the television, we listen to them on the radio. And the problems that the world have at the present time and how they're trying to solve them and resolve them. And, you know, it's so interesting. It's not surprising, but it is interesting that they debate about how are they ever going to deal with not only the London bombers, but the bombers in so many places and all the havoc and all the tragedy and all the sorrow. But they never mention the Bible. They never say what the Bible says about the heart of man and the plight of people and their sin and their fallen state. But you and I, thank God, that light has come and that truth has dawned and that revelation is ours. And we remember how we were called. No, we didn't do it ourselves. No, friends, no. How we were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then, friends, he's precious also, not only because of our past lot, but because of our present life. He says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, I'm so thankful that God's salvation is a present salvation. We don't have to wait. We don't have to go through an experience of terrible uncertainty, not knowing. Ah, friends, we know now. We know now. You say, what do you know? What is it about our present life that's so sweet and wonderful and precious? Well, this is what Peter says. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto infinite love of the brethren. It's an interesting thing, friends, that in my Bible, and it's the authorized version, but in my Bible, for precious unto you that believe he is precious, it substitutes the word an honor, or he is an honor. Spurgeon says that's the exact translation. Well, I have no difficulty, though I know nothing about the Greek, only what others tell me. I have no difficulty accepting that. Because if there's anything I feel this morning in your pulpit and being here, it's how honored, once was a sinner, and now I'm a saint. Once I was a rebel, and now I'm a worshiper. Once in my sin, now in Christ. And now this life, you know, it's such an honor to have your sins purged away. And that's what Peter's talking about here. seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit under the infinite love of the brethren. It talks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but he also says in chapter 2 about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Oh, it's wonderful to know your sins are purged away. They're gone. They're gone forever in all their totality. It's wonderful to be part of the family of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. It's wonderful, friends, in the second letter, he talks in chapter 1 about whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious, there's another one of his precious words, precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. This is our present life, the purging of our sins. We're part of the family of God. We're partakers of the divine nature. We're possessed, born of the Spirit, possessed by the Spirit of God. And, he says here, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We're strangers and pilgrims. What does that mean? It means here we have no continuing city. We're passing through. We're on our way somewhere. And how wonderful to be pilgrims to the celestial city or land. And that's the life that's ours now. Jesus has made it all possible. And he's with us. He's our captain, our savior, our friend. He's everything. No wonder Peter said, unto you that believe, he is precious. Because when you think about our past lot, when you think about our present life, and I'm aware of this, friends, that, and there may be some people sitting in front of me this morning, and you're maybe bowed down with awful burdens and perplexities and sorrows, and I'm not taking away from that, but if you're a believer, you have a sovereign God over all. Your times are in his hands. Woman, I was on the phone with a woman yesterday, and she was telling me about a dear woman that I know very well who went into the hospital recently for major surgery. They discovered something malignant there. Her husband had to go into the hospital immediately she came home. He has been paralyzed from the waist for years and years because the UVF or some of those bios shot him by mistake. He had to go into the hospital. And she said to the surgeon, she says, I want him home to nurse him. He said, no, I'm sorry, he'd not be coming home. He'd be going straight to the hospice. And he has some form of cancer. And they have other problems. Terrible, terrible burdens and distresses. But at the end of the day, there's nothing so wonderful and blessed as to know that we're his, that we belong to Christ, that we've been redeemed with precious blood, and that we're on our way to heaven and home. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. It was Peter in chapter 5. It's Peter who says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, who better to say that? I know Paul and others had terrible troubles. Yes, I know that. But think about Peter. And think about the history and his experiences. In the boat and all the rest of it. And he knows. In the prison, yes, he knows all about it. And here he's saying to these troubled believers, because he's talking in his letter about the sufferings of the saints and the sufferings of Jesus. And he's saying to these suffering saints, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I was reading some time ago, friends, the great Spurgeon said, I bear witness that never servant had such a master as I have. Never spouse has had such a husband as Christ has been to my soul. Never brother had such a kinsman as he has been to me. Never sinner a better saviour, never soldier a better captain, never mourner a better comforter than Christ has been to my spirit. I want none beside him. In life he is my life, and in death he shall be the death of death. In poverty Christ is my riches, in sickness he makes my bed, in darkness he is my star, and in brightness he is my sun. He said on another occasion, preaching on Hebrews 13:8, think, beloved Christian, of the spaciousness and breadth, the abundance, the boundless all-sufficiency laid up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He quotes it, please the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And then he says, you have no contracted Christ. You have no narrow Savior. Oh, the infinity of his love, he says. The abundance of his grace. The exceeding riches, greatness of the riches of his love toward us. The saintly Samuel Rutherford said, oh, blessed conquest, to lose all things and gain Christ. If I should tell you what I have found in Christ, you or others could hardly believe me. Look into those depths of loveliness, sweetness, beauty, excellence that are in Christ, and you shall cry down the whole world. The hymn writer wrote, no mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair, than fill the heavenly train. Oh, unto you that believe he's precious. I trust, friend, this morning that he's precious to you. Maybe you're an unsaved person. Isaiah said, there's no beauty in him that we desire him. Alas, alas, there's many and they see no beauty in Jesus because they're not believers. And you need to come in repentance and faith, and you need to come to Calvary, and you need to see him taking your place and bearing your sin, and you need to claim as your own. Then you'll discover something of the preciousness of the Lord. He's precious because of our past lots, because of our present life, and he's precious because of our promised legacy. We had a very pleasant experience on Friday. We had three retired pastors and their wives in our home. Doesn't often happen. And one man is a great man on the NIV. You know what that is. And one of the wives, she is a great person for the authorized version. And we had quite a bit of banter, but it was all good. Being Christians, you know, we knew how to behave. But the good brother who believes in the NIV so strongly, he quoted John 14, in my Father's house are many rooms. And the dear woman, she said, I don't like that. She said, my version says, in my Father's house are many mansions. She says, I'm going for a mansion. And Peter said here in this great letter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And it's all because of Christ and the blood that he shed, the sacrifice that he made, the work he done. And he's precious this morning because of our past lot, because of our present life, and because of our promised legacy. What a wonderful legacy we have through him. Oh, may God bless his word.